Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Technology Podcast. My name is Tom Doherty, your host. It is a Thursday. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. Make sure you subscribe and share this podcast if you enjoy it. If you enjoyed other shows we've done, you know, on Tuesday we did a little talk on the E3 conference, or a lot of talk on the E3 conference in Fortnite and the big Fortnite tournament they had on Tuesday. Now, on Thursday, the last day of E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo down in Los Angeles, which is why it gets its E3 E's there, as it is down at the LA Convention Center. Definitely a lot of stuff to come out. I know there's the news where people aren't so happy. People are happy. Obviously, on Tuesday, we saw that big Fortnite tournament. Oh, Fortnite, sometimes, I mean, obviously, we've seen the future of e-gaming come to life in front of our eyes here the last year or so. Obviously, we've seen a lot of leagues. There's a Overwatch League. There's a league for, now we're trying to get into NBA 2K. NHL has had a major big tournament for the hockey video game. NHL 18 has had a major tournament happen, international tournament, with regionals all over the place, all over the world. And then now we had that big Fortnite tournament over on Tuesday. Obviously, I think they had one last week as well, where usually it's where you have teams of players buddy up and then you split off and go into a public, you're into a public lobby and you just split off and go try and rack up as many kills as possible with your teammate. This one they did on Tuesday was private. It was a private lobby. All 100 players were dropped into the map onto the island at the same time. So they were able to go out. I mean, I think I gave you, I name dropped some of the people they had on hand for Tuesday's event. I know it was so big they had to hold it at a soccer stadium, but it's pretty cool, as obviously they were able to go have some fun there playing Fortnite. Obviously, the Overwatch League is also something that's really cool. Blizzard just announced to debut that, we've got to see firsthand some of these talented players. Obviously, they debuted that Overwatch League back in March, but they were able to create a World Cup. I mean, the thing that's why it's kind of a no-brainer for me. I mean, we could do this whole segment on e-gaming and stuff. It's really a no-brainer because not only, I mean, I know my friends, I've played people, various games, whether it's Call of Duty or NHL or FIFA or what have you. FIFA is the soccer game. For those, you're playing with people all around the world. I mean, you play, if you stay up late enough here in the United States, you can end up playing with some people in Australia. You can play with people in Britain. You play with people in China. You play with people in India. You play with people in Spain. You play with people in Russia, all over the place. Finland, I mean, you know, the NHL game is obviously very popular up there in the in Sweden, Finland, and Norway areas. But yeah, you play with people all around the world, so it's kind of a no-brainer that you're able to, you can find talent everywhere. It's like going on recruiting missions for regular sports and trying to find out who the top basketball player is in that area, who the top football player is, who the top coder, even for anything. And it's now just getting into another thing where it's people are going to pay to watch it. It's going to be lucrative. It's going to be sponsored. It's going to be all backed up by these gaming companies that, I mean, have the funds there of their own that are very capable of getting these leagues going and also promoting them well enough to try and make some profit off of it, obviously. So Blizzard getting that Overwatch League, and obviously the Overwatch, starting with the Overwatch World Cup, they've had that for 3 years in a row now. They've had the World Cup, and now they started the league. That isn't going to be like, no, start with, oh, it's a one-year event, you know, come and do it. No, it's just, again, we're doing this all the time now. It's a league, and for some people, it's going to turn into a profession, I'm sure. I mean, we've already seen people like that ninja, what's his name, Blevins, I can think of his name, but we talked about it last time. The fact that he is basically a professional gamer. I mean, that's what he does. He is probably sponsored. He has to go. He has a following. That's the thing. If you get a following, if you have people watching you, if you have fans, if you have a user base where you're going to have people watching you on a daily basis or a weekly basis at least, that's where the money comes from. It's just eyeballs on you. And the more we pump up these games, or more we promote, the more. I mean, obviously, E3 is a great place to do that and promote all your video games. We're going to be seeing a lot more stuff come out, and a lot more leagues be created, and a lot more options for people to find entertainment by watching. I mean, the fact that once advertisers and marketing people figured out that people actually like watching other people play video games, I feel like it was a no brainer for them. Like, they just kind of created that. They have to create. It's just creating a new platform, a new realm, a new area to do something. I mean, the fact that now we have these esports games for StarCraft and League of Legends and stuff like that, where you're literally sitting in a arena and you're sitting around this circle of TVs, these people just wired in, and it's competition. Any kind of competition, breeds rivalries, breeds people getting in. I mean, competition, the human spirit is crazy, and we're kind of beings that thrive off stuff like that, and especially video games. It kind of gets, it's why it's called esports. It's esports because it's creating a realm, creating a situation where people are going to be getting camaraderie together. They're going to be creating teammates. It's all teamwork, getting working these games together. And we're enjoying them because it can be dramatic. It'd be really dramatic. I mean, Rocket League. Have you guys ever heard? I mean, sure, you've heard of Rocket League. Is that it's a soccer game, but you're playing with cars and you're in like this little, I don't want to call it like a roller derby kind of thing. It's like a big dome thing, foot field, where you're driving around and knocking the soccer ball around with the car. And it's freaking crazy. But I mean, I saw on social media on ESPN, which is a sports, entertainment and sports programming network, ESPN, they're social media posted it was game 7 of the Rocket League World Cup final or something like that, and this guy made this scored this crazy goal with a car. It's a video game. It's completely virtual. He didn't actually do it with his real foot or with his real car, but he did it with his controller, and it's hard. I played that game. It's not easy. It's hard. Hard game. And they showed off, and it's like he won the Super Bowl, or he won the World Series, or won the NBA Finals, or he won a big knockout or something like that. It's crazy how excited these people get. I mean, it's actually funny, how excited the fans get. And then you look at the kid who actually scored the goal or did something, and he's just like, nods his head, maybe took his headphones off really quick, puts them back on. Like, these kids don't really show that much emotion. I was watching the NHL World Cup tournament competition, and this guy won his region. He's the best NHL player in his whole country. He's going to go play in the international tournament, and he's like, great, yep, awesome. Little smile on his face, get some cash. Sounds good to me. Time, more play. It's no nonsense. They don't mess around. It's crazy. I mean, sports... I'm not assuming that everybody plays sports, but if you're a video game person, you can find your competitive spirit anywhere, and it's crazy, and it's really nice and fun to see people latch on to something they may not have thought that they were going to be good at, something they may not have thought they would have been into as much as they were. But these esports games are only going to get bigger and better and be more inclusive and create competition and create areas where you're going to have kids with like minds and people, not just kids, but people of all ages and all walks of life coming together. Hey, you like this game? I like this game. Let's play together. It's like, oh, but you can't throw a baseball, or you can't catch a football, or you can't swing a bat or swing a tennis racket or something like that. If you're not physically able, or if you're not as coordinated or something, it doesn't matter. Pick up a controller, get with your friends. Get some competition going. I mean, I know it's a video game, so it's going to melt your brain. It's going to ruin it all. No, it's not. It's going to create a situation we're going to be able to get your juices flowing, get your blood pumping, get your, you're not going to be working as much physically. Your thumbs will be, but it's going to be an area where you're going to be nervous. You're going to be excited. You're going to go through all the emotions that you go through in a competition like you would normally. You're going to be, there's going to be elation. There's going to be grief from defeat. There's going to be, everything. That's why sports are awesome in itself, physical sports or esports, doesn't matter. They're all awesome. Because they have the ability to create situations where people can be happy and be in areas where they're competing and having some sort of camaraderie with people that have similar interests as them, like video games. Like, that's why I think Fortnite has gotten taken off, because it's fun. It's a fun area where people can go in and play this game, and you latch onto it. It's not a dark game. It's not gory. It's more cartoonish. It has the dances. The characters do the dances. You press a button, it dances around. People are going to dance, imitating the dances around on social media and their schools and at home. It doesn't matter. There's now the Fortnite challenge where you say Fortnite and you have to do a dance from Fortnite. I mean, it's all encompassed into our culture now, where now we're getting it. Of course, you're going to add a competition based off, because when it's competition, you can start creating prizes. And when you create prizes, you can create more opportunities for advertisement and marketing. And when you create more chances for advertisement and marketing, that's when you can get more money pumped into it. And when there's more money pumped into it, there's more juice involved. And of course, now we're playing for money. Now we're not just playing for, we're actually having something to hang over our heads to say, not only are we the best, but we're going to be proving it with this cash prize. I mean, it's something better than a cash prize. I'll tell you that right now. as much as you love to play these games just for the fun of it, it's always nice when there's some incentive. And it's becoming more and more and more and more and more and more, I'll keep saying it, more lucrative. We're not watching people recordings of them playing video games anymore on their YouTube channels, which is lucrative for PewDiePie. Got the guy millions of dollars, which is great. It always pays to be the first person to do something well. But now with Twitch and with the live streaming device abilities that we have, and the fact that you can live stream that event they had on Tuesday, 100 different people playing in one area, celebrities and gamers alike playing in one area. What's not to like with that? And there's nothing better than kicking this all off and talking about it during this E3 conference, because the E3 conference, I'll get to some backlash in the next segment a little bit. There was a couple of negative things, especially regarding Fortnite, actually, that I'll get to in a second here. But I'm a sports guy. I've always been a sports guy. I've been a video game guy. I've actually enjoyed watching people play video games for quite a while now. Twitch is a great tool to use if you guys want to go learn. It's always nice, especially if you're interested in playing a game but you don't know if you're going to catch on to it too quickly. Go watch some of these Twitch feeds of these kids playing video games, because it's fun. Their emotions, you feed off their emotions, they feed off, they obviously like the fact that you're watching them, because it helps up their user base and whatever, their eyeballs on them. But you gotta like the fact that there is now this growing, it's growing, and it kind of grew underground. It's now becoming more forefront. The older generation was like, oh, they're gonna watch people sitting there, they're sitting there in front of a TV, now you're gonna watch them sit in front of a TV. Well, I mean, it's a physical thing. They're actually inputting their own physical abilities in order to do this. Obviously, it's strategy, it's the dexterity of actually working the controllers physically, and everything. So it all goes in together, and you can't poo-poo it. Don't poo-poo it, because it's something that is going to be here for a while and it's not going away. I mean, when you see celebrities, when you get celebrity backing, when you get an entire brand new stadium in LA rents it out for a day to play these games, when you have massive companies get involved with this, obviously, now we see Epic Games is up there with the likes of Blizzard and Ubisoft and such, with the fact that Fortnite's getting so big. But YouTube is another thing, another great vehicle. Obviously, we see all these kids. I mean, I remember when YouTube was some of these videos on YouTube that are getting thousands and millions of views are just kids unveiling their FIFA like ultimate team packs, like seeing which players they're going to get, which player cards they're going to get. It's crazy. And they go crazy, and kids watching go crazy. And it's this new generation, this new realm of obviously it all breeds from competition and playing, obviously soccer. The FIFA is a soccer game, so it's a sports competition game. But the fact that they're obviously winners and losers, and you could say, oh, we're all winners, but we're all everything. No. We're getting into a realm here where now it's getting serious, and everybody, it's inclusive. Everybody can play, but you better be good at it, because you're not going to be playing having very much fun playing. I mean, you're going to have fun. Even sometimes in defeat, you can have fun. But obviously, competition can be kind of serious and can make people serious, and it can lead to some negative things sometimes, which we'll get to in the next segment. So we'll wrap it up here, and we'll come back in just a moment. We'll talk a little bit more about E3. It's this whole first half of the show, we're going to talk about E3 a lot. Also, some news coming out of there today and yesterday. So everybody, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast on a Thursday. Before we go into the weekend here, after the E3 conference, obviously we're all excited to know that next February is going to be the day. Save up your money, kids and folks and everybody out there who is going to be looking to buy some of these games. Save up your cash, because next February is going to be a hot gaming month with a bunch of different games that we have talked about the last couple episodes going on sale in February of 2019. So that's when they're going to be released. Obviously, pre-orders are always going to be before that. So, and I'm sure people who are going to be on top of that will be on top of that, and they'll know when those dates are going to be. Regarding back to E3, I know Sony announced, actually, so if you made a Fortnite account on your PlayStation 4 and you made a Fortnite account with Epic Games, but you did it on your PS4. If you have a PS4, Sony is actually now continuing with their still stickler policy that they seem to have when it comes to cross console play gameplay. They're not going to allow you to, so say you have a Fortnite account, but you want to play on your phone with the same account, or play on your friend's Xbox One with your same account, or play on the PS4, play on the PC with that same account. If you made it originally on your Sony account with the Sony device, and at PlayStation 4, I'm assuming, they won't let you do that anymore. You can't sign into other consoles anymore. So they're locking those accounts to just playing on the PlayStation 4, which is, I mean, I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. Players don't like it. I mean, it's supposed to be all about inclusivity of these games. I just talked about it and ranted about it for 15 minutes last segment, and how competition breeds competition, and why would you want to lock out more ability to play against these people? But the fact that you have Sony doing something like this might open the door for other. I don't see Microsoft doing this. Microsoft has always been kind of a free open source kind of thing, where they're letting you go do whatever you want, basically. And then PlayStation's the other way around. Sony's not done that, so they're locking down those accounts. You take that into account if you have, if you're looking to play with your friends on a different account, on a different console. Obviously, players are mad. They're already getting a backlash, especially for those. I mean, what if you had a PlayStation and then you went and bought a Nintendo Switch, and now Nintendo Switch has Fortnite? You can play Fortnite on Nintendo Switch. I didn't even get to that. I wanted to kind of start off with that, but obviously with E3 and everything. But no, Nintendo Switch is now carries Fortnite. You can play Fortnite on your Nintendo Switch, which is pretty cool. But you can't use the same. You have to start from scratch, basically, if you have a PlayStation 4. So you got to start it with, you got to make a new account with Nintendo. So you can't carry that over to your Nintendo Switch, which is kind of annoying. But it is what it is. I'm guessing what's the way it is with Sony being the sticklers that they are with their accounts, I guess. Yeah, so they've been used to play Fortnite on PS4. You cannot use them on other consoles. You get an error message when you try and log in with that PS4 account that it's associated with PS4. So, that was a Sony decision. Fortnite or Epic customer service can't do anything about it. I'm not seeing, Sony's not really seeing any budging. They did give a statement to the BBC that where they highlighted the cross-play support. It does offer cross-play support with PC, Mac, iOS, and Android. So you can play on your you basically just can't go on Xbox or the Switch. Basically any other console, you can play on your phone. You can play on your PC, Mac, or Android your phone with that account. So I did speak a little too quick. I did want to clarify that one there. So you're going to be able to still play on your phone, and you're not going to get that error account error. You're not going to get that error a message on your phone or on your computer. You'll get it if you try and log in with it on an Xbox One or on a Nintendo Switch device. So obviously there was the, of course you do the math and you say that 40% of the users who play. So 40% of people who actually we've seen from Consumer Reports who own a Switch also own a PS4. So that means that it's not going to be a small scale thing. I mean, obviously, if you own a Switch and a PS4, you're going to want, oh hey, I could play this on the Switch, and then the Switch has a function where the PS4 doesn't, where you can actually get it on a different screen. You can move it and have it the handheld version, and now that you can't do that, it's going to be affecting. I think millions. I mean, they were saying millions of people. Is that what we're saying? Yeah, tens, small scale. So it's going to be tens of millions of Fortnite players out there who aren't able to now take their highly coveted accounts that they've been working on and building up for the last year or two on their PS4s, and they can't go do it on your Nintendo Switch now. You got to start from scratch, which might deter some players from starting up another. Just keep playing on their PlayStation 4s, which, I mean, is Sony's probably like, great, do that. But I mean, the fact that, yeah, it's interesting. I'm sure some people are going to start from scratch so they can play on the Switch. But it is kind of annoying that, as I say, 40% of Switch owners own a PlayStation 4. Yeah, that's 40. Yeah, almost half of the people who own a Switch have a PS4. I'm sure that some of them also have an Xbox One, which I'm sure they're happy they do, because then now you can take that same account, sign in on your Switch, and have the same, be in the same spot that you were back on your PS4. I'm sorry, on your Xbox One. I mean, honestly, from a business standpoint, Sony, you kind of have to have the clap you to them. It's kind of a nasty move, honestly, for them to do something like that. But it's I'm honestly not thinking too negatively as far as a business standpoint for them, because it's going to lock players to make sure that they stay on their console, stay on their platform. Don't go over to Nintendo, or one of our number one rivals and opponents in this game. Don't do that. Stay on our console. Keep playing the game that you love on our console, and be happy with that. Okay. So, I mean, from a business standpoint, yeah, it does. I mean, because if you say you can take that same stuff and go over to the Switch, you're probably going to see people. And what I mean, the thing is, obviously, people have preferences. Everybody has their own different preferences. So, say, player A takes his account from the PS4 and moves over to the Switch and loves it. He's probably not going to go back to the PS4 anytime soon to play Fortnite. But if player B, say she likes the PS4, but she's going to try the Switch, but didn't like the Switch too much, didn't like the gameplay on the Switch, so she's going to go back to the PS4. So it's either 50-50. It's pretty much 50-50, maybe slight deviation in a certain way, depending on how much people like playing on the Switch. Because if it's a good gameplay, I'm sure people are going to like it just fine. And not want to go back to the PS4, because it's all about the new thing. So, I mean, that's the thing. I would do that. Honestly, if I had a Switch and I played Fortnite as much as so many people do, and I was interested in switching over, I would try to see how the gameplay is. Get it a handheld version, put my controllers on that little screen thing, because it's a nice change of pace. And instead of having to play it on your phone, you get a bigger screen, almost like playing it on an iPad or something. If you have a Switch and you can do it like that. So I do understand where Sony's coming from. I understand why they want to make that Switch or make that a rule. Thing obviously in the case, but it looks like that not very many people are happy about it, which I completely understand from the gaming from a gamer standpoint, from a consumer standpoint. It's not the nicest thing to do to keyhole us like that, even though it's completely within their rights to do that. You have a PS4, you made the Fortnite account, which is supposed to be this open realm game, which is obviously you're making an account so you can carry it over to different consoles for a reason. It's more supposed to be towards your, so you can play on your phone and your computer and also on your PC. Also on your console. So, that's what Sony's like. Hey, you can still do it on the phone and the console, and the computer. So, you're not really locked in. But the whole Switch idea, the idea of the Switch and everything is a big deal as well. So, you gotta take that into account. All right. Let's finish off this segment with some more talk on the E3. Obviously, the E3 2018 today is the last day. We have a couple games to talk about as they are going to be coming out with the next generation consoles. Could games come with the next generation console? I know the Xbox One has announced that 2020 is their target year for the next Xbox, next generation of Xbox. I think that PlayStation and Sony have given kind of the same. The same mapping out, even though they are seemingly getting more into VR and the PlayStation View, more angling towards that as we go along here. They know that the life for the PS4 is coming to an end, but they probably say about 2 more years, which is right. So it's 2020 is about the date, or middle of 2020, about the time that we'll probably see a new PlayStation as well. So as far as games that we could be seeing with this thing, obviously we saw from Microsoft, they have a game called Cyberpunk 2077 that we saw for the first time. We saw the trailer, obviously, for it at the end of the press conference for Microsoft. There was also a behind closed doors example of demonstration actually was shown off to the press. So it's been confirmed for PC. It's been confirmed for Xbox One. It's been confirmed for PlayStation. We don't know a release date, no hard release date yet, but it is a similar cross-generation game that could be seen comparisons to, seeing as far as the cross generations and everything, cross consoles, the way that kind of, Black Flag, when Black Flag came out, when Battlefield 4 came out, they sold it for PS3, Xbox 360, and then also when the new consoles came out, they just upgraded the then resold them again. So the fact that it's going to be a cross generation game could deem a little more lucrative for people who also want to play it and don't feel like upgrading consoles quite yet, but also want to play on the new console as well. So look for Cyberpunk 2077. That's a CD Projekt Red's. That's what they called it there. Microsoft also a developer for that one. Looking forward, we have another one. Dying Light 2 is another game that could be another candidate for cross-generational release as well as the timing for it. Obviously, it was a game that was was a kind of a showstopper at Microsoft's conference as they had some nice gameplay systems and narrative choices that were impressive to a lot of people, obviously, this is a sequel to the original Dying Light. And they were kind of surprised that I've seen reports that it was actually kind of a surprising reveal when they did say it was a sequel to the original, that it was kind of different, obviously, that they were able to surprise those. And, oh, that's just a sequel to this other game. But in Battlefield or Call of Duty, they just put snow and they call it a sequel game. But it looks like this one is going to be something different. Obviously, this is going to be developed pushed forward by Microsoft, and they have a nice what they very, very popular, apparently. I mean, I'm not really that big on the game developers and game writers, but this is Chris Avalon is a guy who's been around for a long time, a legendary role-playing game writer, as he'll be around and help is making this game and is making a lot of decisions regarding this game as well. So obviously they are trying to get ready for these new consoles and try and get ready for the strength of these new consoles, seeing what they can do and the kind of power they will pack. So it looks like that we're going to get into that. Obviously, there's a couple more games we're going to get into when we come back after the break. One big one from Microsoft as well that we've been waiting for quite a while. I did talk about it a little bit on Tuesday, but we'll get into it more when we come back. So everybody stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Oh, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast. As we've been talking a lot of gaming today, obviously the E3 conference is upon us. It is actually coming to a close today. We had the Nintendo conference, we have the Microsoft conference, we had the Ubisoft conference. I'm sure there's a ton more that I'm forgetting. Sony had their conference as well. One game that we talked about briefly last episode was Halo Infinite, which is going to be awesome, and it's also going to be a game that is probably going to be released just like the other ones, like I was talking about before in the previous segment, cross-generational. So this is a game that has been completely redesigned. It's a completely new game. There's no basis from the previous games. It's been reported that 343 different industries created this game. This was a studio, Slipspace, obviously said it was necessary for this game. Obviously, it was this ambitious. Obviously, Microsoft didn't give away anything that they didn't want to show off. They didn't show any gameplay. They didn't give any story details. They basically just what they called a quote-unquote engine demo. During the trailer, they called it more of a demo than a game announcement, because they're really, I don't think they have, there's not much beta testing that needs to be involved. I mean, obviously the kinks of the actual gameplay itself, but the fact that the marketing has been done already, and it's been done for almost a decade. I mean, look, when did the first, that's something I really need to check out. When did the first ever Halo game come out? I mean, it's got to be 2006, 2007, maybe. Halo franchise obviously has been, it's been around for so long. I mean, the original Xbox, obviously 343 Industries with this new engine. I mean, they had to create something this bad, obviously. I say 343 Industries, the company's called 343 Industries, guys, obviously. But the with this new engine, Slipspace, obviously for the development, it was really necessary to create something completely new as they were going into it. So yeah, with Bungie obviously getting the first few, then they had Ensemble Studios, now 343 Industries developing the last few games, as now we're getting obviously Halo. So first release, Halo Combat Evolved, was 2001. So we're almost at two decades of this game, as obviously we had Halo Wars 2 did come out last year. We had so technically there was a Halo game come out, but last year in 2017. So we're gonna Halo Infinite, though, I feel like it's gonna be more based more with Master Chief. We're gonna get, I think they said, one of the more better storylines we've had ever, and obviously the gameplay is gonna be pretty cool. It's gonna be so many teasers, so many rumors. We've even seen rumors that there might be two releases. We might be seeing one get in 2019, one in 2020. We could see if they wait until we have a new Xbox, whatever the whether we're going to call the Xbox One successor, the next console, the next gen console. So obviously it's all lots of rumors, lots of hubbub and everything, because everybody was in one spot for this conference this week. But the fact that they didn't really technically announce the game, like officially announce the game, like we've seen for other companies, other games do, we're still waiting on what's going to be happening with Halo, as they called it a engine demo for that for Halo Infinite coming out. Probably, I'm honestly going to say 2020. I don't want to speculate for next year, because next year almost seems too soon already. They're not really, even though the fact that they didn't announce it, the games we've already seen announced, like officially announced at this conference, are going to be coming out next February, and most of them. So I don't think that we're going to be seeing Halo Infinite until probably early 2020, maybe late 2019. I don't know why they would rush it and get it out before they have to do before they have a next gen console to talk about or to sell it along with. Another game that could be a cross-generation is Starfield. This is Bethesda Game Studios, as they have created a game, a science fiction game called Starfield. This was at their E3 event. They didn't, again, same thing, didn't show off any of the details or gameplay, didn't show off a title or anything, but they have confirmed the existence of it, quote-unquote, confirmed the existence of it, as they did have a couple quotes and such from the director, Todd Howard, who described the game as a next generation with the label that he gave. Obviously, next generation is everybody's thought as far as they got. I mean, it depends how these developers, these directors are going to get. Obviously, there's hundreds of people that work on these games. They have to get some sort of a heads up on what these companies are going to be trying to put in these new consoles and how much they can try and push things forward. Obviously, we've heard that there isn't really any inkling the fact that this game could come out for Xbox One or PS4 soon. They said that they don't really know which kind of platforms are coming out anyways. That's the problem. Like, we're in this kind of limbo stage now where, like I said, is Sony going to come out with a really really redesigned new console? Are they going to go more towards VR? Is Microsoft going to do this as the same thing over there? Obviously, we have a Nintendo Switch, so I don't think they're going to be really in any hurry to try and, I mean, obviously maybe another kind of version of the Switch will likely come out, but I don't really see much of that. Another one, Elder Scrolls 6 is another one. Bethesda also talking about that. They did talk about the next project. Same director, that's Todd Howard from Bethesda, as he talked about Elder Scrolls 6 and how that one is going to be coming out as well. Didn't really show off much there either. A couple small logos and such. I don't even know much gameplay. So yeah, some shot for shot of like rolling planes. Nothing really showing off of the actual gameplay. Maybe a little map preview kind of what they're going to be doing. They did tell the game. He did mention to the host there that it was in pre-production still, as Bethesda is going to be taking its time to launch a new title. Obviously, there's no rush. There isn't any rush, because you're not going to be rushing to create a brand new game on a console that's going to be gone in a year or two, a year and a half. So might as well just take your time and create a game that's going to be sold on the new console. Looks like that. Obviously, they're going to keep you, when it comes to Bethesda, they're going to keep playing Skyrim. You could deal with it. Play Skyrim on your Nintendo Switch. You can play that. You can also, there's another game called Elder Scrolls Blades that is available on your mobile device as well. So for some people who want to do that, another game, Final Fantasy, is likely. I'm hearing is it a remake of this Final Fantasy six? Final Fantasy seven. Sorry, Final Fantasy seven remake did not show up at the E3, but it could be announced. Obviously. A full remake was announced at the E3 in 2015 by Sony, but they were planned to be unraveled, obviously, unveiled in 2017, but there was no footage, no nothing, as we're still waiting, and a redesigned version of the game is yet to come as we await on something there. Obviously, it's one of the most acclaimed games of all time, and gamers, as much as they want these games, there's no rush. Like I said, we want them to be complete and be done fully and correctly and tested and over and over again and work efficiently in the way we want them to. So, nobody, especially a lot of these reporters and all these guys who are down there at the conference right now, they're not in a rush. They're not really calling for this game. They're just kind of like, you know, make it the way it's supposed to be, and don't release it too soon, and don't be hasty. Make sure it's ready to go for us for our gaming pleasure. All right, So back to some stuff as we're going to finish off this segment. I do want to talk about Fortnite a little bit. CNET came out with a huge, big expose on Fortnite, talking about how are we changing the gaming world? Is it for the better or for worse? Is it really not changing that much? Is it just another game for us available? Obviously, we know that the whole idea with the 100 players onto the island per lobby and everything is a pretty cool idea, and it's all the Hunger Games style. But I mean, is it really the first thing we've seen with these battle royales? I mean, we've probably seen it before, obviously. It's something that works really well and is something that probably has been, I'm assuming isn't a brand new thing. Obviously, the fact that Fortnite has gotten so much celebrity backing. I mean, it has so much. The fact that the most popular streamer, Ninja, is playing with Drake, and then you have guys like David Price for the Red Sox getting carpal tunnel because he's playing too much of it. Juju Smith-Schuster talking to people trying to play, taking videos of him. You got two young NBA star all-stars, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, talking about Karl Anthony Towns and Ben Simmons talking to each other. I think they may have been playing Players Unknown Battlegrounds, but same, whatever. They're talking to each other through the game feeds on Twitch, saying, hey, who are you playing tomorrow? Let's play this game now, or switch over. I mean, they're in different cities. It's really cool, the fact that we're seeing all these things. And like I talked about, the emotes and all the dances and stuff like that are really cool, obviously. I think Epic has said that in the month of April, they bring up $300 million in sales. So obviously this game is free, but they're getting the money out of the in-game purchases, and I think a lot of these the fact that it's multiple, it's repeating purchases, not just buying one game and then playing it. You're downloading the game for free and then purchasing multiple times over and over again after that. And if you're getting celebrities with their cash they got, I'm not surprised why you're seeing that. Obviously, we're already seeing that Activision is trying to get in on this. I talked about it last time. I think the fact that Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is going to be having a Battle Royale mode as well. That's going to be coming out later this year. So whether it's going to be seen on... did EA come out and say that it's going to be on Battlefield? I think so. Yeah, Battlefield 5 is going to have a Battle Royale version of it as well. So whether we're going to see copycats or see... there's copycats and there's people who think that they can do things better. Like, oh, I want to see if I can kick that idea and make a better version of it. I mean, that's a possibility as well. So obviously, we see that the gameplay for the EA one is going to be something that we've heard already. There's been a report out from the EA head of design saying the raw gameplay is what draws people to it, which is brilliant. This is how a game should be. So that's true. It's all very, you're not held on a track. It's open. It's open, 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 and everything. So it's a raw, like I said, raw gameplay. It's basically what everybody wants in a game. You can do whatever you want and you can go around and have some fun with your friends while doing it too, and looting and dancing and, making crazy no-scope, cross-the-map shots and everything, creating your own map. I mean, it's got everything. It's got building. It's got, for people who like just going and sniping people, for people who like foraging, for people who like building things, people who like getting around and finding out what all the nooks and crannies of a map. It's got that. It's got intrigue. It's got the fact that you come and fly down from a with a parachute or whatever might have you is pretty cool. And, I mean, they also threw Thanos in there, too. So they know that they can get in on the pop culture game as well with Fortnite. So you can't go wrong there. And the fact that they're already seeing two of the most popular first-person shooter games on the market to be coming out, Battlefield 5 and Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Are going to be putting a battle royale mode in both of their games. We haven't seen something. I mean, is it different? Is it changing the landscape? Is it really doing anything? Yes, maybe, but it's also becoming one of the most unprecedented games based off of popularity and based off of ideas that get copied that we've seen in a very, very long time. All right, that's I'll wrap it up for this segment. We'll probably do a little more talk on some games, some E3 stuff that we haven't gotten to yet. Also, there's a report out that Snapchat's trying to be the un-Facebook and create their own privacy-safe area and make it even better experience for you Snapchat users out there. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast. On a Thursday here, we're going to head into the weekend with this final segment. A little bit of Snapchat talk, as Snapchat has, looks like they're trying to be the un-Facebook, trying to create a way for users to have their privacy a little bit more under wraps, it looks like, or a little more secure or exact, whatever word you want to use for privacy. But they're going to be uploading, it's going to be called the SnapKit. As they're going to be last month that we're now finally being able to confirm that this is going to be a SnapKit that's going to be a set of logins basically that are going to be able to allow other apps to piggyback into your login. So, you know, the sign up with Facebook kind of thing, you can do the same thing, but with Snapchat, it looks like they're going to be creating, I don't know whether it's going to be a bit emojis or whatever. So, yeah, so it's this programming interface, application program API, in order to be able to put out immediately for signing in, putting Bitmoji avatars into your keyboard's display. So it's going to be integrating it into your other apps. And the SnapKit, like I said, the biggest thing for it is privacy. So obviously, it's supposed to be differentiating itself from Facebook, and the fact that Facebook has had the issues with the Cambridge Analytica scandal and all the different data mining issues that they've had with the fact that they're using people's data to sell and maybe influence political things, or allowing other factors to be coming in there to affect political things. So you can sign up with pretty much any platform, any developer for any platform can sign up with Snapchat. They already have some partners have already been announced. Tinder is one of the partners, actually. So you, if you match with somebody, you can bring your Bitmoji into your chats with your matches with people in there. Patreon, which is a app that allows creators to connect with users and post stories or pictures or whatever. You can allow do that, so it'll be integrated in that. Postmates also are going to have some sort of stickers and filters involved as well when it comes to the ETA, and you can also share on Snapchat the page in the delivery app, so that it'll open up that restaurant page. So if you're you can share on Snapchat that you're getting, I'm getting food delivered from Chipotle or whatever as well. So the Snap Kit as well. So you can, like I said, it's going to look like that. It's going to look like what, you know, the usual bar. It says log in with Facebook. You're going to log in with Snapchat, and it'll it's really trying to push the bar up when it comes to the quality of privacy that we're going to be getting from these apps and from these ability, these things that have them. I mean, basically the thing where you sign up for Facebook, because it already has all your information. So you don't have to take 5 minutes to fill out all the fields and give the company, give this, the website that you were trying to sign into all your info. You sign with Facebook. You know, it's quick, two clicks. Now you're going to sign in with Snapchat as the Snapchat VP of the product. This is Jacob Andreau has come out and said growth is one of our three goals for 2018, so we absolutely hope they can contribute to that and contribute to strength engagement, which has always been a key metric for us. So strength engagement, strengthening engagement is a big deal. So he wants to obviously try and get the fact that you're getting Snapchat, you're getting the logo everywhere, you're getting things everywhere, where now the engagement with it, even outside the app, you're going to be able to be thinking about and using a Snapchat service. With other apps, it's going to be piggybacking on it, just like what you see with Facebook. Obviously, the fact that Snapchat has had an issue, they did have their lowest user growth rate over the last quarter. Obviously, when it comes to Instagram and WhatsApp, Instagram looks like it's going to be trying to piggyback on everything. I do like a whole segment on that, I think, a couple weeks ago, talking about how Instagram is copycatting Snapchat, but they are kind of different in the fact that Snapchat is more now getting into the news. Becoming a news source, where you're having a lot of news outlets, whether it's People or Vogue or ESPN or I think even ABC News is getting in on a Snapchat. I can even go look right now and see which outlets are available. You can just swipe right twice and you see all the stuff that you have, or once. IGN, NBC is involved, obviously. Anything that has to do with an event right now, the World Cup is going on in Russia, so the big thing on that. Sports teams, MTV, Telegraph. What else is there on here? I think BuzzFeed's on here as well. People Magazine, and everything. So a lot of different things. National Geographic, GQ, 17 Magazine, are all Smashable. Mashable is a good one. Mashable actually has something about Fortnite right now. It has to do with people who are addicted to Fortnite, which is probably going to be an issue that we're going to have to address here on the show in the future. But because we're having issues. I mean, there's 40 million active monthly users on Fortnite, so there are obviously going to be some questions of with parents and such having to do with people on there too much. As far as it goes with Snapchat, it's just different. It's getting into a difference. I mean, your Instagram is tethered to Facebook already, so can't really do any more changing regarding this with Snapchat. But the fact that it's now becoming a news gaming app, it's becoming a news app, becoming a messaging app, it's becoming a social media where you're posting stories just like you would on Instagram. I know Instagram is more the pictures too. Snapchat doesn't quite have that, but you're not really sending those snaps, the quick little selfies or pictures to people like you would in instant messaging on Instagram. I guess people use the instant messaging on Instagram a lot. I know I use Snapchat way more, almost as a texting, as secondary to just normal iMessage or texting. Obviously I have an iPhone, but that's just me. So yeah, that's a good example there. But Snapchat trying to get heightened in that privacy game and trying to beat Facebook at their own game here with this addition of the Snap Kit. Obviously, it looks like that this the privacy is going to be like, okay, well, Tom, how are they going to help this privacy issue? Like, well, they have a feature that will manifest itself and will actually untether any. So say for example, okay, here's an example. I have an app on my phone. What could it be? Like any shopping app. So say I have Postmates. Okay, there, it's a good idea. We talked about Postmates. Say I have Postmates on my app, on my phone, I downloaded it, I log into it with Snapchat, so it gets my information from Snapchat, and now, obviously, Snapchat will help itself get into there as well, with some of its features. But if you don't use Postmates for 90 days, then it will automatically untether itself from Snapchat, so it will no longer have access to your information. And you're like, "Oh, Tom, what about the, it already has your information? It's been 90 days; they have it already." Well, it looks like the Snapchat's going to be paying attention to all of that at the same time as, like I said, it's 90 days of inactivity, and they don't have always continuous access to your account. To your information. That's the thing; they probably already only have access to it on a timely basis, as they when it's severed, they can't go back and they didn't save it. They only can access it at certain times when you probably are using the app every time as well. So it looks like that they're going to be doing that. Cool. Well, and obviously your display name, your Bitmoji are going to be things. The Snap Kits. They said the apps aren't going to be even asking when it comes to the SnapKit. These apps aren't going to be asking for anything that has to do with your phone number, your gender, age, location, nothing. Who you follow has nothing to do with that. No email, who you're friends with. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's all locked down. It's just going to be getting your Snap display name. And if you want, you can have your Bitmoji also involved in those apps that are going to be involved in on the SnapKit feature over there as well. So it's pretty cool. Obviously, Evan Spiegel has had his comments on Facebook and everything that's been going on with Facebook. He had to deal with some stuff that they've had problems with, obviously, when they had a leak of users' phone numbers. But now Facebook, obviously being the poster boy when it comes to leaks and issues and scandals, Spiegel's been able to really focus on what they've been doing. And there's a quote from Snapchat executives is coming out and saying, yeah. So it looks like that this one part of that Evan is really excited about with this release is how much better our approach to users in that way really is, without relying on things like policy or developers at best intentions of them writing perfect bug free code, but instead by design, not Evan exposing these things to begin with. So yeah, instead of having to actually worry about, oh, okay, we have to write perfect code so the information, their email, all their stuff is secure, write perfect code for that. Well, why do we even allow them? Why is that even involved? Snapchat's like, nope, we're not even going to get involved in that. We're not going to even worry about having to secure email or phones or names or birthdays or whatever, because we're not going to have that information. We're not going to have that. We're not going to even make it available. We're not. You don't need to secure something if you have. That's why they tell you to take your valuables out of your car when you park it in the parking garage, because they don't want to have to secure it. Your car, you have a car window, can break your car window. You don't have to write perfect code. You don't have to be perfect security in that parking garage. They say take your valuables out of your car because you don't want them in there. So Snapchat's the same thing. We're not even going to worry about putting that stuff in there for them to even be thought about being grabbed. They're not going to be there. They're not even going to be there. So it's hard to steal something that's not there. It's hard to have information leaked that's not even there. So that makes a lot of sense when it comes to what Snapchat is going to be doing with their new SnapKit service. As obviously this is going to be anti Facebook platform non Facebook platform as well. As far as privacy goes, we did talk about Apple and the fact that people think it's going to be getting into the realm of making it hard for law enforcement to get evidence off of people's iPhones. Obviously, I think I talked about that a little bit before with everything with the randomization of the information and everything, and how if a phone hasn't been unlocked within a certain amount of time, then It goes into lockdown. It won't work with their little decoding devices that they have now. So if a phone has been locked, it says, what is it, an hour? An hour after users lock their phone, the software won't be able to. Like, it's the same thing with the computer. So if you have somebody's phone, like say you stole a phone, and somebody, like, if you, it's password protected, they have a way to unlock your phone. If you haven't unlocked it within an hour of them taking your phone, then they won't get it in anyway. So even with their software that they have, because there won't be any, the lightning port just shuts off basically and doesn't allow for any information to travel up and down that port, a cord that's plugged into it after an hour of you locking your phone. So I think I did talk about that a little bit in the last segment, as now we're being confirmed as these iOS 12 USB restrictions obviously come out and say, no, it's not supposed to be anti law enforcement. It's not supposed to be like that, but it is supposed to be anti theft and privacy for people who are having issues with their phones being taken and having the information being sucked right out of them. And then they can be even more vulnerable. So it looks like Apple is trying to get ahead of that one. Obviously, this is going to be a new feature in iOS 12. All right, that'll wrap it up for the show today, as we have made it to the end. Everybody enjoy their weekends. It's a Thursday. We'll be back on Tuesday for another edition of the GSMC Technology Podcast. And we will be talking probably more about games, more stuff coming out after the end of E3, which is the last day is today. We'll be doing some more stuff on that. Obviously, when the newest information and technology comes out, I will be the first one to jump on it and bring it to you and give you my take as well. Everybody have a good weekend. Everybody have a good Father's Day. Want to wish all the fathers out there a happy Father's Day as it comes up this Sunday. Enjoy your weekends. Hopefully all the weather is good out there. It's getting hot out here in California. I'm sure it is across the nation as well. So everybody stay safe and have a good Father's Day. We'll be back on Tuesday. See you then. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.